God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. The news-driven cycle of discussion. We talk about news. We talk about breaking news. We do that here. It's one of our responsibilities to you. But we also choose to view happenings in the world as much as we can through the lens of God. Now, we can't think like God. We can have his word on our mind, on our hearts, written, as we say, on the forehead. We can be in his word on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. Some of us can do that. I have not yet succeeded in that. Well, not for any length of time. But in prayer, through certain portions of life, yeah, I'm very present with God. But every moment of the day, there are people who can do that. God is not surprised by things. There's nothing that happens in the world that's outside of his knowledge. So what does he consider to be the top story? I continue to believe it hasn't changed. The top story right now in the church age is there is still time to repent. There's still time for people to accept the Lord Jesus, to be baptized, to agree to be changed by him, to go on mission with the Lord. I believe that's probably the top story until the top story is Jesus has returned. But what of the events in this world? I think God is a God of justice. I mean, I think he tells us that. The Bible is replete with this. And the God of mercy. The day after Thanksgiving, a young guy named Alex Shepard turned himself in for a 19-month prison sentence. The crime he committed was when he was 21 years old. And he's been fighting these charges for 3 years. He's 24. The U.S. Bureau of Prisons has classified him as a domestic terrorist. He did not. Well, you probably figured it out. It's January 6th. He did not steal. He did not assault. He did nothing other than enter the capital of the United States. So now he's a domestic terrorist, will spend 3 years in prison. By the way, maximum security in that penitentiary. That is mental torture for many people, and I will be in prayer for this young guy. There are many people who were welcomed into the Capitol by cops welcoming them in. Is that the top story in God's mind? Again, God's not surprised. We can't begin to think like God. We can look at his word. Well, is this mercy rather than sacrifice? Is this the sort of mercy that someone would have, that God would have us employ on a young man who protesting political happenings, what he thinks is the theft of an election, and I happen to concur. I think it was stolen. I know it was rigged. There's no argument that can be made it wasn't rigged. Is this a sort of mercy the Lord would have us employ? From that to this, in the same city, by the way, where that occurred, in the same city where January 6th happens, Washington, D.C. has hit 900 carjackings, and that happened on Thanksgiving Day. That is a 108% increase over this time last year. There are nearly 3 carjackings per day in that city. Recently, there was an attempted carjacking of a Biden family member. Well, that carjacker was shot. Open season. People would say open season on carjackers. But it's not open season. And the fact of the matter is, in November, started with 831 carjackings, 5,884 thefts in D.C. By the end of the month, they're going to be close to, as we said, 900 carjackings, well over 6,000 stolen cars. Here's the small print. Per the laws in Washington, D.C., the center of the center of the universe, because their counsel, juveniles who commit both crimes receive lesser prison sentences. Now, I am not one who says charge kids like adults because they're not adults. But how about charge kids who do this in a serious manner? Again, is this the top story to God? I don't think so. But is it mercy to the people of D.C. to allow this chaos? Is that mercy or is it sacrifice? Is it justice? Is it what God would have us have in terms of order in our world? The disorder in Washington, D.C., at that level, of course, is quadrupled at the top, but it's a different kind of disorder. We constantly, on my podcast, on Friday, I talk with a friend of mine who is also runs our finances, a guy named Zach Abraham. And Zach and I often go through the insider trading accounts for the week. Not the accounts, but the effects of the insider trading in Washington, D.C. That's a level of chaos as well. So the car theft and the carjacking can turn violent, as this carjacker found out when the Secret Service apparently took him down. Because you can't go around carjacking family members of the king. You can carjack family members of, well, non-kings. That level of theft, right, that's one thing. At the top in D.C., we consistently go through the reports, financial reports of Congress members who are clearly dealing in insider trading. They beat the market every year. Sometimes they beat it by 10, 20, 30%. People like Warren Buffett don't do that very often. Are we to believe that these guys are the most gifted traders on earth? No, they're the most gifted recipients of information. Which company is just about ready to be made too big to fail? I've watched insider trading happen. I sat in a room and watched it happen. In fact, I precipitated it. I really did. I was giving a speech in Washington, D.C. to a group of power brokers. They were communications and PR people, some lawyers. And a friend of mine asked me to give the speech. His name is Trevor. And Trevor said, before I went on, he said, Todd, I didn't know this guy was going to be on stage before you. I beg you to be polite. Please, I'm begging you, be polite. The guy he was talking about was the obscenely corrupt Congressman Barney Frank, who was speaking just before I went on stage. So, keeping my word to Trevor, I was polite. I didn't say anything about Congressman Frank and the underage, the child prostitute that he housed. Oh, and paid using taxpayer money. I didn't mention that on stage. I've wanted to, but I didn't. I simply went up on stage after these interesting remarks from Barney Frank. Barney Frank had said, he was asked a question. This is back in the day about Greek bonds. When we were handing our money to other countries during the last time that we allowed the financial system to melt down so we could further enrich people. What are the power brokers asked Barney Frank about Greece? Are we going to bail Greece out? And Barney Frank said, well, I can't say much because we just had a committee hearing on this and I'm sworn to secrecy, but I would tell you this. If I was a rich man, I would purchase Greek bonds right now because as of this morning, Greece is officially too big to fail. But see, he told everybody in the room what to do. So when I got on stage, I came up and took the applause. And I know this is rude. I'm so sorry. And I had a BlackBerry. Everybody had BlackBerry phones then. I said, I'm so sorry. This is so rude. Just give me a second. Trevor, I really apologize. This is so important. And I typed away in my phone. I said, just about done. I said, there, I just bought Greek bonds. Let's hear it for insider trading, everybody. Congressman Frank. And I clapped. And the room applauded with me. They applauded with me. And then someone caught my gag and said, you guys, he's making fun of us. He's criticizing us. I said, yes, I'm criticizing insider trading. And Trevor left the room. I wasn't rude to Barney Frank. I kept my word. So is that sort of stuff news to God? Is that breaking news to God that human beings given power misuse it? No, back to the days of King Saul. Saul at one point had been sort of a humble person, King Saul. And he became a murderous tyrant, murdering hundreds of priests and their families. Because he was upset at David and was jealous of David. It goes way back. Is that the top story to God? I don't think so. I think the top story to God remains the fact that there's time to repent. That still exists. The people still have an opportunity. But the opportunity, in my judgment, well, that door is closing. Why would I say that? Because of open Satanism. Now, I don't know if this is the top story in God's mind, but I imagine it's hurting his heart. Cosmopolitan magazine recently published a profile of Samuel Alito's mom's abortion clinic that, by the way, gives young women instructions on how to have a satanic abortion. Well, they actually do this. I got this from the dailyfetch.com, which links to the article. It was published on November 14th. Begins with the writer admitting Samuel Alito's mom's satanic abortion clinic. Does it sound like pure clickbait? Sure. But beneath the outlandish branding lies a sincere mission. The New Mexico-based telehealth practice, a legitimate medical entity run by accredited clinical team, offers abortion care to patients within state lines. They're going to describe, even provide the cost points, because, of course, Cosmopolitan is promoting this. It's obviously a promotion piece. They say they picked New Mexico because it's a stronghold of the right to kill babies. That's why they picked the state. They also mentioned that, oh, by the way, they're also members of a religious organization called the Satanic Temple. And then they point out, well, they don't actually worship Satan. They just think of him as sort of a mascot. They say, to quote them, Satanists don't actually worship the devil. Roughly 1.5 million global members view Satan more like a mascot, one depicted not as a dark, omniscient deity, but as a literary character. I just have quick news for them. Satan doesn't care. He doesn't care that you think of him as a literary creature. He's not. He's very real. He's not omniscient, by the way, nor is he omnipresent. None of those things. He was created by God, and God can destroy him, and he will, and he has, because when God says a thing, it has been done. Oh, to the details. Yeah, this is actually what they describe, and this could be some rough language. Well, it's not biologically rough, but if you have kids and you're listening, please be ready to have a discussion with them after they hear this. And I would suggest it's not for young kids. Here's the instructions they offer at this abortion clinic. First, you find a quiet space. Bring a mirror if you can. Just before taking the abortion medication, gaze at your reflection and focus on your personhood. Home in on your intent, your responsibility to you. Take a few deep, relaxing breaths. When you're ready, read the following tenet out loud. One's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone, Cosmo reports. Take the medicine and immediately afterward recite. Beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care to never distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. Later, once your body expels the aborted tissue, but don't distort science. The aborted tissue, return to reflection. Focus again on your personhood, your power in making this decision. Complete the ritual by reciting a personal affirmation. By my body, my blood, my will, it is done. And the article provides the screenshots from the article in Cosmopolitan. That's a satanic ritual, full and full, through and through, being promoted in Cosmopolitan magazine. If that magazine is in your home, you have an idol to Satan in your home. That can infect. It should be taken out and burned, and you should go through your home with another beloved Christian. And given the powers delegated us by the Lord Jesus, demand the evil spirits leave in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's a lot of people who know more about that than I do. In fact, this week we're going to talk to a deliverance pastor. I'm still trying to figure out what I believe about deliverance pastors and deliverance missions. So I thought we'd talk with this gentleman. That'd be later this week. Satan doesn't care if you think he is a literary character. Satan only cares that he divorces you from God, just separates you in some way. We come back, we'll talk about another form of deception, this to oneself. Well, you heard about those kids who got lost in the Middle East? Yep, they just got lost. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. If you missed the last segment, we talked about really disturbing article that ran in Cosmopolitan magazine, and it gives instructions on how women and girls can have satanic abortions, complete with the satanic abortion ritual. Is really part of a segment about the lost nature of Washington, D.C., which should tell us a lot about the lost nature of the country, and a continual reminder for us, as I see it, that we're to be in the world and not of it. And we're given tools for this. This from Proverbs used to baffle me before I became a discipled Christian. This phrase, Proverbs 1, verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And because I am a little bit anti-authoritarian, and I have a pretty good cause for getting there. I think I've kind of shared with you how I was treated by some probably kind of well-intended teachers, although one of them was probably a pedophile. That's not well-intended. Went after me and my sister, and actually ended up grabbing her and just tried to con me into going to his house without my mom's knowledge or permission, because he had puppies and candy, and it was such a ritual. So I've come about my anti-authority instincts, honestly. But as a disciple Christian, we are to live with Romans 13. And I know there's a huge discussion about that, and there should be, particularly in a country where we have the Constitution as our ultimate authority. So when I would read Proverbs or hear the fear of the, more commonly I would hear the phrase, the fear of the Lord, it would baffle me, thinking, okay, every time I've feared an authority, it's been because the authority was bad or corrupt. And I didn't fear an authority that wasn't bad or corrupt. So I turned it, I twisted it in my mind to say, well, then is God bad because we're to fear him? Is he lurking around the corner ready to do something to us that we don't deserve? As a disciple Christian, I understand, no, he's not. So what about the fear word? So the way it's been described to me, and it's helpful to me, is the fear of disappointing a father figure. Or like disappointing your own dad. I'm blessed to have a gentleman I view as a godfather, and he and his wife have been kind enough to say they view me as an adopted son. It would crush me to disappoint Gary and Karen. It would crush me. Particularly Gary, I have such insane levels of respect for him. He's a great discipled Christian man. Catholic family, and gosh, they're so blessed. I don't even know how many grandkids I have. I think it's in the 30s, though, and that just gives them all, you know, no end of joy. So when we compare the fear of the Lord, the fear of disappointing God, to this satanic abortion ritual in Cosmopolitan magazine, they don't have any fear of that. We compare this to the record levels of carjackings in Washington, D.C., 108% increase over the Thanksgiving 2020. And there's no fear of the Lord. So the other way I look at this now is I believe that God gives us spiritual immunity. Well, obviously, in terms of eternity, God gives us spiritual immunity. We are immune from the sting of death through the blood of the cross. And what an amazing gift. So we have that immunity. If we are washed in the blood of Jesus, and we view him as our, or accept him, not view him, but accept him as our Savior, Lord and Savior and King, we're immune to a lot of spiritual abuse, the types of which non-Christians are not immune to. So we get that. But we also get something else, and it is the ability to test truth. And in this world of lies, what an incredible gift to test truth and to test people who speak. And to do that from the Word of God. And on a personal basis, I think many of us have done this. It's so new to me that I'm zealous in sharing it. New in the last 3 years. I had a a brother come to me talking about a woman he met. And he wants to, I mean, he's pursuing a relationship with her. She's from back east. And well, she would say south, but to us it's east. And he's getting to know her. And as he's describing her, yep, she's very pretty. She goes to church. She serves in the music ministry, I should say. And as he described it, he said, I don't know what it is, but something, I have this concern. And as he was describing to her, I said, brother, I don't see any of the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, yeah, she's serving in the music ministry, and that's a great ministry, worship ministry, great, great ministry. But you're kind of telling me that this is something that she intends to merchandise, that this is sort of a way of a stepping stone in a wannabe singing career. That's not charity. That's not serving the ministry for the love of serving the Lord. So all I said in this was, I'm struggling to hear the fruit of the Spirit. And he said, oh, that's it. That's it. So I wonder if that's there. I said, well, look, she's attending church. She's in the ministry. The ministry of music and worship. So she's providing some value. And he said, well, maybe I can help her mature. Maybe you can, but maybe you can't. And maybe that's not your role. Maybe that needs to be the role of fellow sisters. But it was that little checking off of, wait, what's bothering me about this circumstance? Yeah, it's the absence of the fruit of the Spirit. So we can have this in our minds by inserting in our minds, or it says in the Bible, written on your forehead, which there are Jewish groups who do that. They write Bible verses and place them up on their forehead. On the doors of your home, the door jams of your home. I have a friend of mine, dear, 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 incredible servant of Christ, does that on his home. You walk into the front door and it has Bible verses on it. And it's just to remind the family, this is a house of God, just like a church. Just, we treat it just the same way. God is welcome here. This is his home. We want it to be his home. So we can have this in our minds. And it allows us to avoid being like the Prime Minister of Ireland, whose name is Leo Varadkar. We don't want to be like this guy. Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. This is what the Prime Minister of Ireland wrote about a young woman named Emily Hand. And the context will become clear as I explain it. He wrote, this is a day of enormous joy and relief for Emily Hand and her family. An innocent child who was lost has now been found and returned. We breathe this massive sigh of relief. Our prayers have been answered. Oh, she got lost. Oh, that's horrifying. Anyone who's ever had the child, you know, run away or get lost, even in a grocery store for a few minutes, it's terrifying. Except she didn't get lost. She was kidnapped. She was kidnapped by Hamas. And now returned as part of this hostage deal, which, well, we may get an expert on them. And we may get someone on with a more informed opinion than mine. I don't like the phrase experts because I don't like this hostage deal. So the Prime Minister of Ireland, who also, by the way, and we'll get some audio of this, he hates white people. I mean, no, he openly hates white people, is saving his anger and frustration for that, and he's lying about what happened to this girl. But the question is, why? I don't believe that man has the fruit of the Spirit. I don't believe he has God's word in his heart. How could he to lie on that level? And what is the instinct? Right. This is something as well that protects us when we have the Bible in our hearts and minds and written across our forehead, is we can know things that other people don't. For instance, Satan has a special hatred for the Jewish people. Look, we could talk all day long about Israel as a country. It's fallen. It's fallen to the sexual left. It's fallen to pharma. It's pharma owned, as near as I can tell. But you can still know that God has a special plan for the Jewish people, a special covenant. There's going to be a remnant of them that are going to return to the fold, those of us who are Christians view Jesus Christ as that fold. That's the he's the Messiah, the King, the Savior, the one who was to come. He came in human form already. Jewish people, of course, believe the Messiah is yet to come, but they await that. In either case, Satan would want to destroy the Jewish people. In the case of knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, just out of pure hatred for Jewish people. In the case of the Jewish people in the remnant, right, the promise still exists with the New Testament. If he could wipe out the Jewish people, then he makes God a liar. So we can look at this with a biblical scope that other people cannot. And again, it's not just a spiritual immunity, but it is an immunity to world lies, which is something for which I'm deeply grateful. Washington Post wrote this about these stabbings of children in Ireland, which of course the prime minister there, all he had to talk about was the response. He didn't even talk about the incident. This is what the Washington Post wrote. Online rumors claim the perpetrator of a stabbing attack was an immigrant. The BBC found that the man was an Irish citizen who'd lived in the country for 20 years. Police blamed a lunatic faction driven by far-right ideology for the riot in Dublin. And on Twitter, you can add community notes. This is a community note. The man is indeed an immigrant as he was originally from Algeria. The WaPo segment appears to conflate citizenship with not being an immigrant. You can be both. Absolutely. Indeed, you can be. But they do not want that part of the story seen. Why that instinct? Why not just say, yes, he's an immigrant, but he's lived here for 20 years? Well, obviously, we can say that this is narrative, but we can less obviously say, who are you serving? When you lie in this way, who is the father of lies? Therefore, knowingly or unknowingly, who have you served in this? And the response in Ireland is not about these stabbings. Yes, that's the thing that set it off. But you'll notice in George Floyd, well, the riots, they were honored. The riots, the burning down of cities, the beating up of cops, indeed the killing of cops, was honored. There's a street in Washington, D.C., a plaza that's now named after a domestic terror group, Black Lives Matter Incorporated. And that same technique, that same honoring of George Floyd happened in Ireland. The response in Ireland is a response to unfettered immigration, people being forced to watch their homes change, their country change, by bringing in people who hate their freedoms. So, if you again think biblically, God is a God of order. Yes, we're to treat sojourners kindly. Yes, if there's a foreigner in our midst, we're to treat them well. And we're bound to follow the precepts, the guide of Romans 13. So are other people who come to our country. All right, they're to do that as well. So when we have the word of God within us, we have this form of spiritual immunity. But we also have this form of world immunity. As things change across the country and across the world, this tool is so important for us. Because you get panic pieces like this. This is a report from CNN. Talking about, once again, the Middle East here.
I want to show you this video, Wolf, of a daughter reuniting with her mother that was sent to us by the family. Take a listen. The reason, I mean, there's no reason. It's her daughter. But beyond that, she had been arrested at the age of 16, convicted at 17 for 10 years, accused of attempted stabbing. Her family and her lawyer and Israeli and Palestinian rights groups say that this was a miscarriage of justice. Her family had taken this all the way to the Israeli Supreme Court, and her mother had lost hope. So the idea that Israel's far-right figures are demonizing Palestinian joy in this moment is part of a bigger picture, Wolf, that we have seen play out, where they're not distinguishing between Hamas and civilians, Wolf.
So but that woman's name is Nima El-Badir. She's CNN's international investigative correspondent. You'll notice something. She doesn't mention the girl's name. It's Mara Bakur. there's video available that you can watch as she stabbed a 19-year-old border guard and then tried to take his gun to kill other people. You can watch that, which gives it context. And when she's talking about them not allowing or not letting people see celebrations, yeah, Israeli authorities said, hey, in this exchange of hostages, we're not going to allow you to have these celebrations. And the Israeli point of view on that was because it's painful for the victims who were murdered by some of these people or stabbed in this case by these people to have to watch that. You can celebrate once the cameras are gone. But when we carry with us the word of God and we treasure it and it's across our foreheads, we can also do as we're told in Ephesians 5, 15, 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This form of immunity isn't just about the greatest, greatest reward in the world, which is eternity with the Lord Jesus. It's about not being easily conned. And it is happening that other people are beginning to awaken. It's global and it's good news. We'll talk about some of that and get to the Tower of Babbling, the opposite end of the spectrum. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We've been talking today. Sometimes this happens, and it's not by design. Sometimes that there ends up that there's a theme to the show, and when that happens, I don't take any credit for it because I didn't plan there to be a theme for the show. But the theme for the show has emerged to me as how keeping God's word in our hearts, in our minds, on our foreheads, on the, you know, some people do it literally, the door jams of their home, teaching it on a daily basis to our kids, how it's in daily and moment by moment basis, pointing out God's truths, how that gives us obviously spiritual immunity, the sting of death gone through the blood of the cross. But it also gives us a form of immunity to the lies of the world because we can check every spirit. We can even look at things from a grand narrative perspective. We talked about this in the last segment. We talked about the grand narrative of why is there a, from time to time, insane rush to kill all Jewish people. Well, I would say that happens because Satan would love to wipe out every last Jewish human being. Because at that point, he would have made God a liar because then the covenant dies. And that's a covenant that God expressed very early on, as in, you know, several thousand years ago, expressed that. And God doesn't, he doesn't break promises. So it gives us, even from a grand narrative perspective, an ability to judge truth and to have context. And on smaller things, or maybe not, well, not that much smaller than the grand narrative, but just judging how people speak and judging, well, I shouldn't say judging because we're not to judge, but discerning their character. Do I observe the fruit of the Spirit? Do I observe consistency? Do I observe in them a respect for order in how they address their lives? And this is on a global basis. Anytime there's a push now against the World Economic Forum sponsored, and it is, and I'm happy to prove it. I'm happy to have the discussion with anybody about this. The World Economic Forum sponsored rush towards pure authoritarianism. Anytime there's a pushback against that, saying things like, hey, we're not going to be injected with gene sequencing devices against our will anymore. Many of us weren't the first time. Other people have learned and they don't want that ever again in their lives. Hey, we're not going to be forced to speak pronouns. Hey, we're not going to be willfully blind to the fact that you are purposely overrunning our country with people who hate our values and hate the predominant faith here and want to impose upon us their views of the world and their moralities or lack of morality. It's not about race. It's about your importing behaviors. We're not going to be blind to this anymore. Now, it may not be that these incidences with these politicians are motivated by their faith, because I don't necessarily know that they have any. But it is motivated, I think, by people's sense that we're being run by liars and we're being run by evil people. So it's this instinct to push back against this, and it's happening on a global basis. We've had two massive, massive changes in the world with the election of Javier Milei and Geert Wilders, both in countries where you should not have this sort of pushback. A libertarian economist and a guy who's run a freedom party in Netherlands now have, in one case, actual control over the government, Javier Milei. And in the case of Geert Wilders, the most profound and impressive majority government the Dutch have seen in years. And that's a direct response to the World Economic Forum boss, a former boss of Netherlands, telling farmers they needed to destroy their crops. Well, no, pardon me. The Dutch were told they needed to destroy their livestock. And if they refused to destroy their livestock, not sell it for meat, not use it to destroy these herds, the government would make sure they would never again be allowed to have a ranch in the entire EU, all of Europe. They'd be banned from it. You will be banned from growing food, from harvesting food. So there's a massive pushback against this. And I think this comes because human beings are, well, we're made by God. And we have a response, even if it's unconscious. I think if we're not yet fully spiritually taken, and God forbid that we become that, that we have an almost, it's not instinctual, spiritual response to that form of evil. You're trying to starve people so that you can force us to buy patented meats. That's clear. Everybody can see this, right? It doesn't take a prophet to see that, right? That you want to run us down into the Monsanto, Bill Gates fake meat world, Monsanto Frankenfish world? It's very obvious. So we thank God. I think we should. I think praise God for revealing this. And the closer we have his word to our hearts and our minds, the easier it is to just observe, wow, these people don't mean us well. So who are they? Who do they serve if they're going to do things like that? And in this program, under Disciples View, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise people on their tall towers. They think they're tall towers of unbreakable steel. And in fact, God has placed them on tall towers of shaking sand. And we thank the Lord for that. With our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babel.
This lady is my second favorite dictator. And she is an assistant dictator. She's the assistant dictator of Canada, and her name is Chrystia Freelander. Chrystia, and boy, what a fascinating last name, Freeland. Chrystia Freeland is the assistant dictator of Canada, an assistant to the vice dictator, to the dictator Justin Trudeau. And she was a big fan of freezing the bank accounts of truckers who protested not being allowed to truck, not being allowed to ship goods to feed their families, who did that in Toronto. Remember this? They froze their bank accounts, seized their funds, labeled them with bad think, that some thoughts are so bad they must be punished. Well, now that politicians are being threatened for their policies on Israel, their policies on Ukraine, and being threatened by Hamas sympathizers, it's a fascinating change of events in the mind of Chrystia Freeland.
So, thank you for the question. The right to protest is essential to the democracy that we are all so lucky to live in in Canada. It's important when protesters exercise that right, that they are respectful of the work that everyone in Canada needs to do, whether it's the leader of the official opposition or the prime minister.
They seized a bridge. Some of these people seized the same bridge that the truckers seized, only to find their bank accounts then stolen by Chrystia Freeland. Such a fascinating last name for her, isn't it? And yeah, but now it's different. Do you remember the kindness Barack Hussein Obama, God bless Rush Limbaugh. By the way, when I say that, it's because gosh, people know who I am in radio because of Rush, honestly. And God gave me that opportunity to be on his show hundreds of times as a guest host. And so I just honor Rush that way. It's just a little fun thing. Barack Hussein Obama, Rush used to say. Do you remember the kindness and gentleness of Barack Obama? Just kindness walking. And he employed kind people like Stuart Sedlowitz. Stuart Sedlowitz was a national security advisor for Barack Hussein Obama. And here's some audio of Barack Hussein Obama's former national security advisor, Stuart Sedlowitz, as he stalks an Egyptian man in New York.
How does it feel to be a criminal? You're not answering my question.
Really? Okay, go, yalla.
And to the Egyptian, the Muhabarat wants your picture.
Okay, yalla, go.
Know the Muhabarat? The Muhabarat.
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
I just speak English.
No?
Yeah, go, yalla.
Muhabarat in Egypt will get your parents.
Go.
Does your father like his fingernails? They'll take them out one by one.
Yalla, ruh min hayna, yalla, go.
Why should I go? Why should I go? Tell me why I should. I'm standing here. I'm an American. I have free entry. It's not like Egypt. Did you rape your daughter like Muhammad did? Did you rape your daughter like Muhammad?
Speak English. No, no English. No.
You don't speak English?
Yes.
All right. Well, that just shows how ignorant you are. Because, you know, Muhammad was a rapist. It says in the Hadith.
Muhammad.
In your holy book.
Oh, Muhammad.
What?
Oh, Muhammad.
Muhammad, your prophet. You know who he is.
My prophet?
Yeah. He was a rapist. He raped Aisha. Does it say that in the Hadith or not? How does it feel?
Yeah, it does. And he knows nothing about this man. He stalked this man day after day after day after day in New York. Now, he's been charged with a crime, a hate crime, in fact, of stalking, threatening to deport a worker to Egypt. Now, all of us can err, but this wasn't an error. This was a campaign. But how did he ever work for Barack Hussein Obama, who was himself the bringer of light? Wasn't that it? He was the bringer of light who walks in darkness. Last clip. Oh, did Barack Hussein Obama walk in darkness? Oh gosh, yes. Oh gosh, yes. Just a simple examination of this through the Word of God could show us that. Fell asleep during a hearing with a woman who survived an abortion. Quite purposely, I think. Last clip in the Tower of Babbling. A repeat performance from the figurehead, Biden.
Nowhere is that more true than when it comes to climate. Every economy around this table faces this challenge, every one of us. And as I've said before, it's the only existential threat to humanity. We either get this right or there's not going to be a whole lot of people around to talk about it.
The only existential threat, the only thing that could wipe out our existence is the weather. Says a figurehead whose regime is about to unleash 6 specially modified B-12 bombers that are run by AI and are headed for nuclear certification. Good thing nothing can go wrong.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
What a kind email we received from Matthew Turner in Indiana, listening on 90.7 WQSG Lafayette. He writes, Todd, I'm unsure where to contact you, so I'm emailing you via the generic AFR email address. Though your Friday program was pre-recorded, I still got so convicted that I had to sit in a gas station parking lot to pray for forgiveness. I'm saved by grace through faith, not by works. My heart is still so hard that I find I have to force myself to pray for radical leftists, if at all. Be encouraged, Todd. The Holy Spirit is using you as a conduit to help sanctify his silly, skittish sheep. You don't know me, but I love you, brother. Matthew. Matthew, what a beautiful note. And thank you for the way that you express it, because it's accurate. This has nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Holy Spirit drawing people, well, the Holy Spirit in Christians, magnifying what I say. And in every instance, I hope it's not me. And I know that I don't have the ability to draw people to God. Only God has that ability. And to convict you, only the Holy Spirit can convict you. And I appreciate the way that you phrase that. If every one of us is honest, we all have trouble praying for people like that. It's a very difficult thing to pray for people destroying our world and destroying our country and driving this cultural revolution. And here's something that I've done that's a trick, and it truly helps me, is I picture them as little kids. Because somewhere back in the day, they had far more innocence. Somewhere back in time, there's someone's little girl or little boy with such promise. And I picture them in a jail cell, spiritual jail cell, dark, divorced from the fruit of the Spirit, not able to attain any of it. And I remind myself that in God's eyes, we're all children. Those of us who've been readopted to the family through the blood of the cross, well, we're family. God would like everyone to be in the family. When I remind myself of this, I can find that it's a lot harder for me to have pure anger. And is any anger really pure? Yes, we can be righteously indignant, and we should be, about evils done to innocents. And we're called to free the captives. We began this program by talking about fear of the Lord, fear of disappointing him. God tells us to free the captives. Least we can do is pray for that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God values words, that's why we speak here. Until God allows us to talk again, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.